welcome.
Hi, Vinny.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Leah Tress, I think. Leah, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here?
Okay. I work for an organisation called PANIC, Positive Answers Needed in Crisis. We started the organisation with the founder, Angie Rogerson, in 2010. It started with Angie having to go to the ministry against the panel due to her story with a little baby girl who was placed in an unsafe situation with a sex offender. Angela Rogerson had quite a battle on her hands, and it went all the way to the ministry, and she won her case. There was no support around for the Rogersons. They were left out of pocket at thousands of dollars. So Angie started PANIC. She's one of the founders. My job, I'm a client advocate. I've done about over 50 cases now. Yeah, that's just a little bit about it. Any questions? Oh, I can't hear you.
Basically, I've known of PANIC for quite a while. And I remember a conversation I had with a SIFS worker about a month back where we protested outside the SIFS office in Manurewa.
Oh, yes.
They were kind of the SIFS worker was attacking us, saying that not all SIFS workers are like this. And she went on to admit that she believes that SIFS is actually corrupt and run by corrupt people at the top who don't have any frontline experience. And what we'd both talked about was how to set up a new organization that does this job that Child, Youth and Family Service, or CIFS, is supposed to do, and actually support families and people, particularly those who have been failed by the system.
Yes.
And incidentally, that's what PANIC is really there
what
for.
We do. Yes.
So I'm acting under the assumption that no government money's coming towards you.
No.
You're getting no free press coverage. And also, you're probably being attacked and defamed by current people with power in some way, shape, or form.
You get really good social workers who know their job, and then you get ones who won't even talk to us. So it's across the board. We're not anti-SIFs. We just want to make sure that when it comes to children's lives, that the processes and social work practice going on is good and that families aren't going to be messed with. And that not all parents who have the 0508 family number called on them are bad parents. There seems to be a stigma around having SIFS involvement, where people think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And if your children are uplifted or taken from your care, that automatically bans you as a bad person, as a bad parent, that you can't parent your children. Sadly, that's not the case in some instances. A lot of the time, SIFs do get it right. But I've seen cases where they've gone and got it horribly wrong. I can't hear you again.
Sorry, I'm just having some trouble with my mute button. It's all my fault. I've always wondered this. What percentage of SIFS cases achieve a positive result and what percentage achieve a financial result?
Oh, as far as with going against the panel with
taking kids off, taking kids off parents, putting them in foster homes and so on and so forth, I believe there's a quota to be kept, a certain amount of Māori children, Pacific Islander, Asian, so on and so forth.
So we have heard of this. We have heard of this quota, yeah.
So they go out arbitrarily in order to snatch people's kids. That's the thing. If you've got a quota, it means that there's a financial incentive to take people's kids, whether or not those kids are actually, in fact, being abused.
We have asked the ministry if there is such a quota, and we're waiting for a reply on that through the Official Information Act. So it'll be interesting to see what their reply is.
Just how long you been waiting for that reply?
Think that because I've done.
Like it hasn't been like a week or something, has it? It's been quite.
No. I think it was in August. I think it's overdue. I think that one. So yeah, it's gone to the ombudsman. So I'm waiting. Yeah.
it's almost like you. I don't know. I don't know what to say in those particular situations because I assume the worst, you know, generally when we're talking about government departments and so on and so forth, you just assume the worst and 99% of the time you wind up being correct, unfortunately. 1% of the time you wind up being incorrect is like, oh, no, they're not doing that. Okay, sweetest. Thank God. Thank goodness. That's the thing about governments. I think the presumption of innocence should apply to individuals. The presumption of guilt should be applied to government.
Yes. And now it's completely reversed where Paula Bennett has brought in the you are now guilty until found innocent as far as with children being uplifted and child, youth and family are concerned now. So it makes our job even tougher, and we're getting more clients.
Well, I always – we do need to get some kind of support, community support for panic. This is the idea that I had, is that community groups and organizations, independent of the government, non-governmental organizations and so on and so forth, indeed need to get behind groups like panic because I believe that – when you have frontline staff who've had it with the system, who have the experience, who are very good at their job, who form their own organizations, something tells me that they are I guess the word is competition to the current government system, which means you'll be met with opposition. And perhaps it should be panic writing the child, youth and family services policies and panic training the social workers and so on and so forth. Wouldn't you agree, like in an ideal world?
Well, with our charity status, we can't have the whole activist aggression type thing. Their policies do need to change. Too many faults happen within their system where rogue social workers are given far too much power and being able to mess with families and uplift children when they shouldn't have been uplifted.
To what end? Do they get paid for doing this?
Yes. Yes, they do.
So they're stealing children for money?
If you want to put it like that, Vinny, then yes.
Okay. All right. I'm glad that we've got the nitty-gritty details sorted. All right. Okay. SIFS workers do actually steal children for money.
I'm not going to agree to that. I just the way it's put is terrible.
I think the worst way it's put, the more appropriate and the more accurate it is. I've talked to so many victims of the system, and it occurs to me that it's not isolated. It's
not at all.
Quite widespread, this abuse. Yes. And we have a instance of pedophilia infiltrating infiltrating into the organizations. Now, because these workers kind of almost have, they have greater powers than police, kind of thing.
They do, yes.
It can prevent them from being investigated for crimes to an extent, I should say. And on top of that, you have the family court, which the media is not allowed to report on. So if anything was going on, and we know that it is, not only would the police not be able to do anything about it because the workers outrank them, but the media wouldn't be able to report on it, so the public would never know, right? They've got it stitched up.
They do. They do. In that case, they do. But through the complaints process, it can go to the panel, which is and goes before the chief executive of the ministry.
How many people have ever gone before that due to complaints?
I don't actually have a number. I was looking at
anybody?
Yes. Yes, I know of a few. I had a client yesterday who was before the panel. Angela Rogerson, she's been before the panel and won her case and got an apology and compensation because of their mistake. Many children who were in the foster care but have now aged out of the foster care are going through historical claims and going to the panel due to the abuse that's happened while in foster care. And that's another thing. Foster care who are now parents who have aged out of the foster care have their massive target on their back that SIFs are almost, they're red flagged. Soon as they have a child, or before the child is even born, they have SIFs knocking on their door. I think it's a unfair disadvantage and that they should be supported instead of saying, you were in foster care, we'll take your child.
Sorry, I don't quite understand. What is it that you're saying here? People who are foster carers who have children themselves, real children take place at what?
No. So children that grew up in the foster care system who have aged out of the system and are now 19, 20, 21, early 20s, late, carry on, who become pregnant, automatically get red flagged by SIF. For being in that system. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We see it quite often that if there's very little support, a young mum or having been a foster care child, that alerts, that puts up red flags and you become a target.
So there's many instances then, I would take it, of former Child, Youth and Family Services children having their children taken off them by SIFs.
Yes, I have clients myself. Yeah.
And this is a cyclic abuse, or is this simply being done arbitrarily without evidence?
There's
a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Little bit of column A, little bit of column B, yes. Not without the right evidence or using the fact that they were in the foster care system and had things done to them to say, well, you're not fit to be a parent. Yeah.
So we take you from your parents, we abuse you, and then after you've grown up so that we can't control you anymore, as soon as you start to have your own family, then we come straight back into your life.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Sounds about right.
No, I don't like the situation here. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Means a solidarity.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about computer-odd communism. And my very special guest is Leah Trass from Panic. Can I ask you, Leah, you look real young. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, I only started early this year, like last year.
Yeah. So it doesn't take a very long time to realise the corruption in the system, I'd say.
No, rose-coloured glasses are off.
Yeah. Can I ask you what kind of clicked you on to what's wrong with this picture?
So what actually happened was I split with my ex and he rung the 0508 family number on me. I had Sif's knock at my door and investigate me. The case, I never heard from them again. I never saw them again, but I had it worried me that anybody can ring that number. Any malicious allegations can be made against you when you're a parent. Annoy the neighbour. That friend you had a dispute with, they can say, well, you know what, I'm going to get back at my friend and I'm going to ring that 0508 family number. And it's seen to be used as a weapon. And that's how I found Panic. Because I found Lee Bailey, who was also a founder of Panic. She is now retired due to health concerns. And she started talking to me about Panic and what they did and how they are a support advocacy group and help obtain SIF files to see where the investigation is going, help finding lawyers, preparing you for family group conferences, going to meetings with you and going to the FGCs with you, and just emotional support, because it is so stressful when you pretty much have a microscope on your parenting. It was not a fun experience for me, but luckily, I had a very supportive and core network as far as family and friends around me, and Sif were able to see that and so close that file. Although with files, they stay on their computer system for life, so my name and the allegations I've had made against me stay on that computer forever. There's just a note that says no concerns or whatever's on there. which is also worrying in the fact that we have seen a number of cases where SIFs have come once or twice. There has been the no concerns bracket put around and noted on their file, but then future concerns, and they've gone back and used those concerns that were noted on the file against that person. So they can come back to bite you, sadly, even if they are deemed malicious.
And do they require any evidence?
As far as making the allegations and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and allegations made, do they require any actual evidence before they take your kids?
It depends.
Like legally, do they have to go into a court and say, we've got this photo, we've got this video, they're abusing their child? Oh, okay, well, we'll just get the thing. Or is it just on the social worker's word?
No, what happens usually, it depends on the allegations. Usually court follows an uplift. Yeah. There's not usually, or not in the experience that I've had, where...
Are we talking about a real court or a eugenics court, otherwise known as the family court?
Family court.
Okay, because that one's completely controlled and stitched up and so on and so forth, as far as my research has led me to believe.
Okay.
So if they do want to lie, let's assume worst case scenario. Father has a child taken from him for absolutely no reason, and the social worker lies about it, and it's in the family court. He can't report it. He has to pay for his own lawyer. He can't afford it, and so he loses his kid for absolutely no reason on made-up allegations. Has that happened before?
Where a social worker has lied in court?
Yeah.
Yes, it's happened.
Yeah. Do you have any examples of that? Or?
Can't breach confidentiality.
See, there you go. There's the inherent problem in the system. You can't actually expose somebody for telling lies because of confidentiality.
Well, I don't want to also breach a client or a victim's confidentiality either. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
But of course, if you don't mention their names and if you simply mention the stuff, there's nothing specific to tie them back to it, is there?
No, as long as there's no identifying factors. But yes, I have in one case, they didn't even notify the family that there was actually a court proceeding, so they couldn't even attend and defend their case. So it was stitched up basically right from the get-go. But there still is a need for an agency like Child, Youth and Family. Child abuse does happen. And I don't want this interview...
Oh, well, this is the argument. This is the argument. And let's say, top of my head, 10% of current child, youth and family workers are corrupt. Pedophiles, okay. or so on, yep. And so forth. Let's just assume that.
We'll go with that.
But should we then say that because 90% of them are doing a good job and preventing abuse, that we should let the 10% of pedophiles and corrupt social workers get away with it?
No, not at all.
See,
not at all.
That's the problem with the system and the way it's set up now is that those 90% of good people become the public face, and those 10% of bad people. This is, of course, a made up thing, by the way. Basically, more or less, get immunity to a large degree and continue to operate.
Yes. Well.
So let's say, for instance, you simply have a investigation organization. You grant the ability to actually look into these files, see which of the workers are in fact corrupt or pedophiles or whichever kind of a form of scumbaggery they tend to be committing, and they can be investigated, they can be fired. right? That's what I'd like, is just to leave the system as it is, except cut out the cancerous lesions that are eating away at its core.
Agreed. What we at Panic have seen, though, is where the poor social work practice happens and a restructuring of different branches, they actually shift the social workers to a different branch. So it just, yeah.
So that means that there is an endemic protection. That means that somebody at the highest levels is in fact involved. It's the only way that those kind of organizations can get away with committing crimes for certain periods of time and covering up and allowing people like that to keep working for them is if there's somebody at the top covering it up.
Maybe, who knows?
It's a hierarchical structure. Nothing happens in a hierarchical structure without those at the top of the hierarchy willing it so. So who's at the top saying pedophiles are okay, child abuse is okay, corruption is okay, and we're going to protect those people? Is it because those people know that the system's corrupt and they can turncoat, perhaps, reveal evidence if they were ever to actually suffer consequence for their actions, this kind of thing? And again, a reminder to the audience, we're talking about a very small minority of SIFS workers. Any conspiracy, and let's define conspiracy, it's two or more people coming to harm another group of people without that group of people actually being aware of it.
Yeah. And that's,
in which case, fits the definition.
Yes. One thing that Panic are finding is that not a lot of people know their rights when it comes to parents. What on earth is guardianship and their rights as a guardian? And also knowing how they can get their SIFS files, what they're entitled to know and what they're not entitled to know. There's just this massive grey area and confusion when dealing with SIFS because they don't get told, which is where Panic comes in. And we try to guide our clients and get some clear understanding and help obtain the files and try and work with them and support them, whether it's doing parenting courses or just eliminating those SIFS concerns. And if we can do that and work towards a transition home or just supporting the supervised access or the access that is needed with the parents if the child cannot be returned home because of neglect or abuse.
So if people have been failed by the system, they go to Panic, Panic helps, and that's basically what they're there for, is when the system fails, right?
Correct. That's what we're here for. We are the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff.
Well, so wouldn't Panic want to be working in tandem with SIFS as kind of like a contracting agency of some description? Like, for example, the GCSB building in Wellington has offices of the NSA in it, you know? Maybe Panic, a lot of people don't know that, maybe Panic should have an office in every SIFS office.
Now that would be a laugh.
it would be classic, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear Lord.
you're like, welcome to SIFS. If you think that we're corrupt or we're not mishandled, there's the office over there that you can go to. Those people will expose our corruption and help you, actually.
That would be insane, Vinny. Oh, gosh.
It's like the US military having a Taliban office on base or something, you know.
It wouldn't work. But what we are hoping to do is to almost work with SIFS to pick up their flaws. But we are independent of SIF to an extent. I mean, Angela Rogerson, who is the founder, She was a SIF caregiver for 27 years. We have about just over 20 in our team, in our panic team, who help as many people as we can. At the end of the day, it is about the children. Not discriminating against people just because they have a disability. A couple of cases I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah. Well, it's an emotionally traumatic employment opportunity, as far as I know. It's getting to the point where the SIF counsellors need SIF counsellors themselves, because to see the overarching human suffering element that you get exposed to just hearing these stories, not even seeing it, is enough to emotionally traumatize people. That's also one of the other things that's very, very difficult to deal with as a SIFS worker, to my knowledge. You're supposed to be the support worker for other people, but the job's so harsh that you wind up needing your own support worker and that kind of thing. It's like almost like you have to pass the emotional buck in some way. I believe that situation may have led many SIFS workers to turn it off. Turn off what's up here, turn off what's down in here in their heart so that they can just deal with it. And in so doing, they lose the ability to actually help the people that they're employed to help, because they do not have the feeling and they can't take it anymore. We'll be right back after the break at the Vince Show.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, but the world's so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go frickin' nuts. And my very special guest from Panic is Leah Trask. Now, Leah, what is Panic's website there?
www.panic.org.nz.
Panic.org.nz, panic.org.nz. It's pretty easy to remember, because when your children are taken away from you and you're dealing with corrupt scum, you kind of start to panic a little bit, you know? It's just like, oh my God, I'm panicking. Hey, who can help me? Panic! You know, I think that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
It's pretty straightforward. And we have an online magazine now where there are a range of tips for families and also caregivers. Caregivers are more than welcome on our Facebook page as well. Parents, families, caregivers. We don't turn anybody away as such. Mm. Yeah.
How long has Panic actually been running for?
It started in 2010, Positive Answers Needed in Crisis. There was an old Panic, Parents Against Negative Intervention by SIFs. But that was more an extremist, activist type group, and we have a charity status, so we're hoping to gain some funding soon. We don't have any as of yet. So
they have a donate button or a PayPal account or a bank account that people can...
We do have a bank account. It is on our website, and it's also on our Facebook page. All you need to do on Facebook is just type it into the search and Positive Arts Needed in Crisis, and we should pop up. And so any donations. We also have a Give a Little on the Give a Little website. We're also set up there because we just became a charity in July of this year. We got our charity status. So that's pretty exciting, and things are moving forward at a great rate. Gaining about 100 members within about a 3 to 4 week period at the moment. Things are getting pretty full on as far as panic is concerned. Yeah.
Do we have an end game? So let's say, for example, you've got a government organization called SIFS, which does a lot of good work. But some of the things that fall through the cracks, on and so forth, you want pretty much all of those people who actually are having problems with endemic corruption, deception, so on and so forth, abuse and what have you, on the behalf of percentage or whatever it is of CIS workers that aren't acting in the children's best interest, all of those victims should go panic's way in order to not help them with their situation, but also to expose those CIFS workers that are not doing a good job.
Yeah, and for them to be held accountable, yes.
How can they be held accountable by a charity organisation, though?
Because we are an organisation and not just one person, when it comes to... we can do agent forms, and through the complaints process, we can actually make a complaint on behalf of that one client. So it's not just one client or one person dealing with CIFS. It's a whole organisation that is behind them, and it has more standing. Yeah.
So can you tell me some success stories?
Success stories.
On a positive note, you know?
Okay. I'm just trying to pick one. That's quite a good one.
Have there been any particularly nasty abusers within CIFS that have gone to jail, perhaps, as a result of panic's investigations?
Jail? No. No jail time. As far as abuse, no jail time, no. I haven't seen it in dealing with the close to 50 cases I've dealt with, but I've had some really good successes. One where a couple had two children. He was abusive. Sif said something needs to change here, and we're going to put your kids with the parents, with the parents of those parents, so go with grandparents. The mother ended up leaving him, getting into domestic violence programs, started studying, also did parenting courses, and then moved away from her abuser and now is going for day-to-day care of her children. But she just about lost them through a FGC. Yeah.
Now, it occurs to me that the trauma trauma teaches people a lot of very important lessons. And I know a lot of CIFS activists, the only reason why they are activists is because they've experienced an awful lot.
A lot of hurt and anger there, yes, with the activists, yes. Yeah, I would agree. Massive.
They need to be the ones who are protected, I feel. They're the ones that need to be supported to a large degree because they do the job that, say, an organization like Panic can't do. Panic is about helping people.
Yes.
The activists are about exposing the thing that is, in fact, doing harm to those people, right? So there's a relationship there, a very healthy, I believe, working professional relationship between the activists and the people at Panic. As a result, though, because Panic has that that involvement with activists, it would mean that many ignorant people will use that as a weapon to demonize Panic and say, oh, you're involved with all of these crazy people with the megaphones and so on and so forth. And that really frustrates me to a large degree.
Speech.
Yeah.
It's freedom of speech. None of our team are activists, nor is it a view of Panic to be an activist. But we do have a few on the page who express their views, and they should be allowed to do that if that's what there's a lot of hurt and anger that comes from, and that's their way of expressing it. Because they feel they've been done wrong by CIF or by government in general.
So just imagine for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, if you could close your eyes for a second. You got a beautiful child, you know. You've fed them, you've clothed them, and then some scumbag comes along, says some malicious lies, steals your child, and you haven't seen them for 7 years. Think about that, and you wonder what kind of out do you have from that kind of thing. Counseling ain't going to help you. Your kid back, because you still don't have your kid back. You know, that's the real problem here. We're dealing with an almost unfixable situation. What is it that makes that situation unfixable? The corruption in the system. The inability to have accountability. In other words, that's the real problem is that the only reason why society's in trouble is because laws are selectively enforced. You know, ultimately, if the same law applied to everybody and it was enforced equally, we wouldn't have any problems like this whatsoever, no. Would we?
No, but human error is what it comes down to, I think, a lot of the time. People make mistakes.
I do. Okay. Leah Trass, thank you very much for coming on the show with us today and sharing the information that you've got there. Panic.org.nz. Panic.org.nz is the website, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage you to donate to this organization. It's now an official, so you know, because it's a registered charity, that, hey, the money ain't just going into somebody's pocket. It's actually going to really help people. And I think that's something we should all be very proud of. Thank you very much, Leah, for the work that you do.
Thank you, Vinny.
See you again sometime. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, Ben Emlyn Jones, I believe. Let's go anywhere, folks. Disinformation to fact check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.